GNC487. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. It's Friday, June 18th. And the Geek News Central Podcast, of course, is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I'm running on about 2 hours or 3 hours sleep in like the last 2 days, so I'm a little punchy. But I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and yes, you are listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Right now, we got our giveaway going on for those that are signed up for the newsletter. All you have to do is answer one question that I ask in the actual newsletter that is received, reply to that, and you go in the drawing for a cash award that's going to be given out during the next show. So be advised, if you're not subscribed now, it's probably too late. But we'll have some more cool contests as we're moving on. Talk about a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. Of course, I want you to get subscribed to the podcast. You can do that via the iTunes link on the website. You can also do that via the Zune Marketplace, or you just grab the RSS feed and put it in your favorite podcatcher. Well, I tell you, folks, I'm back after a very, very long day flying home. Punchy, because I really didn't get much sleep last night, so I had meetings. Let's see here. Today is what? Today is, well, it's Thursday still here in Honolulu. It's late. And so on Wednesday, all day Wednesday, I had meetings. I got back to the hotel Wednesday evening. Really, you know, had a kind of a relaxing evening, but was just wound up so tight that maybe I slept 2 hours. And then I had to get in the car and drive to the airport. I think I left for the airport at like 4:30 in the morning, something ridiculous. Flew into Denver. Everything was going good until I went to get on the plane to Honolulu out of Denver, and well, it started off by the flight was delayed 30 minutes. Says, okay, went back to red carpet, did a little bit of email, caught a few Z's actually in a chair there in red carpet, scared myself because I thought, oh my gosh, did I miss the airplane or not? And ended up back at the in the aircraft, got all strapped in, and we taxied out, you know, got, I think we're going good, got on the runway. The pilot throttled the old, you know, wearing a 777, so he, you know, put the pedal to the metal, and about halfway down the runway, he decides that we're not going flying because some indication in the cockpit required him to abort, and abort he did, and we came to a, I wouldn't say a screeching halt, but the motors were, you know, completely reversed. Well, really, on a 777, there's really no reverse. So it was heavy, heavy braking. So we sat there on the runway for a couple of minutes before he taxied off. And he let us know that there was a cargo door light that had blinked on as they were moving down the runway. And obviously, you don't want to go flying with a cargo door ajar. So we went back to the terminal and had hot brakes. So we sat there for like forever, and meanwhile it took an additional 2 hours. I guess it made its arrival here in Honolulu 2 hours later. And then, you know, I get off the airplane, I'm thinking to myself, I got a show to do tonight. So I've really only been home about 3 hours at this point, and I'm punchy, I didn't get no sleep. I had a weird seatmate beside me. You know, I was lucky, I was up in first class, and really United's first class is not much better than, really, the seats aren't that much better. But I had this guy sitting beside me, a young kid, and his parents were behind me. Really odd. I mean, really weird. And he's like, you know, every time I had my iPod out and I was listening to some podcasts on the way home, he was kept asking me questions and really really kind of a strange dude. He really was. But so anyway, I had to deal with him. And but it's been a killer trip. This last week, I'm simply exhausted, but I had a great run. I was all over the countryside down south, hit a number of cities, had a number of high-level meetings. It was a great trip. It really, really was. But I'm glad to be back here in Honolulu. It's beautiful. The trade winds are out. Came home, we opened the house up, and it was just nice. It really, really was. Barbecued some stuff on the grill, had a nice dinner, caught up with the family. Being a little grumpy, my wife says grumpy old man. She was basically complaining to me because I was a little bit grumpy. So I'm coming in here and getting ready for the show and running a little bit late. And I think I'm going to be rambling tonight. So I hope all of you will put up with me tonight as I'm going through and getting the show put out here tonight. But no show notes last podcast. And I tell you, I talked about it during the show. I was having trouble. And I guess what I ought to do here real quick before I get into that is there's a bunch of people that have joined in on Ustream. I want to welcome all of you for tuning in this late at night. I appreciate you guys coming out and hanging out. It's late in many places of the country. So for those of you on Ustream, thanks for coming and hanging. I'll be watching the chat from time to time. But anyway, on the last – what I've done is you guys know I had traveled with three laptops. And I was doing everything I could to get things down to two so that I could go back to – because I'm doing a higher-end video processing now when I'm on the road. Well, I've got that all dialed in. That's all figured out. Everything's good. I'm pretty pleased with the production on that. But now when I'm running Adobe Edition, I'm running Firefox, and a couple other small apps on the desktop, and I have maybe 30 tabs open in Firefox, every once in a while, it just really complains. And I have to have everything preloaded because I can't trust the internet speed when I'm on the road in these hotels. So I've got all these tabs opened up. And for some reason, there was some script or something that was causing major pain on the last show. Matter of fact, I was basically having to guess which articles were coming next because I'd click on the, you know, on the tab and it wouldn't switch. When I got all done and I tried for about an hour to pull the URLs, and I finally gave up. So for the first time ever on the last show, there was no show notes besides the, just the general stuff that's always in there. So I apologize about that. And I appreciate that you guys didn't blast me via email for no show notes. But I think if you listened to the show, you understood. Okay, as I said earlier, the newsletter giveaway is going on. Next show, we'll have the actual winner of that. Also on the next show, our GoToMeeting challenge is wrapping up, okay? So if you've been using GoToMeeting, now's the time. Now is the time to send me your screenshots of you using GoToMeeting, letting me know how you use the application, and get that in because on next Tuesday show, or Tuesday morning when it's released, one of you is going to get a free six-month subscription to GoToMeeting. Of course, GoToMeeting is one of the sponsors here, and this is kind of my way of giving back to all of you. And for them being a continued sponsor here for 4 years straight. And definitely appreciative of that company. And I know that you guys are too. Help me keep the lights on in here. And that's the important thing. And of course, it's great for online conferencing. You can't beat it. I can't tell you how many times during this last trip, even though I was still on the move, I was traveling meeting with clients, there were still meetings I had to attend to. Matter of fact, tomorrow morning I have a meeting with a group in the UK. I'm going to be up at 6 a.m. here in Honolulu to meet with them, and we're actually going to have an online session tomorrow morning. I don't have to go to UK. We do it right here on my desktop, and that's the beauty of this is I have an online meeting with their voice IP integration at any time, and you can get a free 30-day demo at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. All right, the GoDaddy Challenge, June 28th is when that one's wrapping up. And I've gotten a lot of submissions, a lot more than I expected. So I'm going to give away 5 hosting accounts, 5 podcast consultations. Basically, I'm going to help 5 of you get started in the podcasting space. And it's not going to cost you a dime for a year because I'm picking up the tab. And I'm looking forward to awarding those slots to some folks on June 28th. five individual individual podcasts or individuals that have podcast ideas. And as I'm going and getting these inputs, I'm really having a tough time trying to figure out, okay, am I going to have to do this random drawing, or am I going to have to read through these and pick five? It's going to be tough. It really is, to figure out exactly how I'm going to award those. But that challenge, that giveaway is on June 28th, and I'll be, of course, helping you guys out and getting you started and pimping your shows on this show. And you can reach, of course, our large audio audience. As always, as well, when you get to GoDaddy and you're getting through there and you're picking up a domain name, you're picking up a dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, when you get to the checkout counter, don't forget my promo codes, okay? Now, some of you are having a challenge. I've gotten a few emails recently. If you are getting any discounted product, in other words, if you're getting a discounted domain, you cannot use my code when it's already discounted. You're already getting a savings, okay? So, but you can always play around with my codes, and I have a number of them. Of course, Todd at 10% off. The Geek 5 will get you 15% off on orders $20 or more. When you've got a .com you're registering, use the ComSale, C-O-M-S-A-L-E, ComSale. And that'll save you some money. And, of course, that Todd 20 will save you 20% off on one-year shared hosting accounts. So appreciate GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central as well. Now, July 1st, I think Jeffrey from Geekazine is still tracking. We're going to be doing our monthly giveaway from participating Tech Podcast Network shows. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to be giving away in July as well. So you just got to listen to win, folks. That's as easy as it gets. Hey, I was talking with Andy McCaskey today, and he's out at the HP Technical Conference in Las Vegas with Jeffrey and another individual that's helping Andy out, doing some assistance, a gal that's helping us. And they're having a great time. HP sponsored six, and I basically, because of my schedule last week, I couldn't go out to the HPTC. So Andy and Jeffrey went out. Otherwise, it'd probably have been Andy and I that would have went out to the event. And they've made some great contacts. Only six bloggers / podcasters were invited and actually sponsored to the event. And Andy's got a lot of great stuff over at sdrnews.com. Lots of great interviews and videos that are going to be coming in the coming weeks. So you'll definitely want to go over to Andy's site. Of course, geekazine.com as well, to check out all the stuff that they did at the HPTC. And look forward to having a closer relationship with the folks at HP as we move into a preparation to go to 2010 CES. So anyway, pretty cool. All right, let me go ahead here and let's look at what I've got. I think I've got through all my stuff here that I needed to cover. Yeah, I think so. I'm a little punchy, so we'll see how the podcast goes tonight. Got a couple of voicemails at the end of the show. We'll get into those. If you have a comment, of course, tonight, you'll definitely want to send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. All right, let's start right off with talking about the iPhone 3GS. There's a great website over at rapidrepair.com that has already tore down a 3GS, and it shows you how to quote-unquote repair, but all the sites are pretty excited to see the breakdown of this new device. What is it with tearing down iPhones and different devices? You know, someone has to do it, but what are you going to do when you get in there? Are you going to be able to fix anything? Are you going to be able to change anything? I don't think so. You know, it's not like you can order parts from Apple, but I guess it's just our geeky nature to tear stuff apart. I know as a kid, my mom used to pull her hair out because when a toy quit working, I was doing breakdowns and stripping them and just to see what was how they worked on the inside, and you know, talking about electrical gadgets and so forth. And there wasn't a lot of those type of gadgets when I was a kid. They were all pretty simplified. They had little motors in them and a battery, and you know, nothing too complicated. But the stuff today is pretty advanced. So anyway, I have that link up at rapidrepair.com. All right, Samsung. Now, if you're looking for some RAM, Samsung has unveiled the world's first 32 gig DDR3 memory module. Oh my goodness. Don't know what this is going to cost. But, you know, buy a couple of chips of that, and boy, you're going to have some serious memory in the machine. Now, this is obviously for a server, but you can buy them now. Samsung 32-gig DDR3 memory modules are now available. Hey, tethering. Those of you that have your phones that are under AT&T and you want to tether your iPhone, the hack to do that is really simple. Not complicated at all. Just takes a couple of setting changes. There's no need to jailbreak or nothing. Be aware. Be very aware that if you do this, and if AT&T catches you, it could be ugly. It really could. They could cancel your account. There's a lot of different things they could do. But if you want a quick reference guide on how to do this, I'm going to have the link up in the show notes. Now, what I found interesting was the speed test. They did a they tethered the iPhone. And when they did the speed test, they only got 0.38 megs down and 0.33 megs up. That's horrible. For an EVDO type of connection, that is simply horrible. So don't expect to get a huge speed, huge speed out of this. Because it definitely is... It's not speedy as compared to, you know, a standard EVDO card. You know, my Sprint EVDO card, I get 1.5 down and, you know, almost 500 up. Now, when I was testing the Verizon card, I was getting 900 down and 300 up. So it doesn't look like that you're going to be able to surf the internet at a very high speed with this tethering going on. But pretty easy hack. I'll have the link up to it in the show notes. Now, this is a strange one. How many of you that have iPhones or an iPod Touch are going to download the Sirius/XM app and stream Sirius? And I thought, well, I don't know if I'd do that or not, because not all the channels are available. There's no Howard Stern, and there's a couple other, you know, prime people over there that are on Sirius and XM that you can't get. So, I don't know. How many of you still have a Sirius account? I know a lot of people have canceled theirs because they primarily went into, you know, subscribed to podcasts and downloading stuff, and they're not doing a lot of, they're not spending a lot of time in their cars, or they're not having, having two receivers, one in their home. Of course, here in Hawaii, our options are pretty limited. I think we only have like a small view of one satellite, and we can't even get all the channels. So it's not really an option here. But it's available if you want to listen to a Sirius and or XM on your iPhone app. Hey, over on SiliconValley.com, NASA and I guess it's a joint venture between NASA/Ames are ready to explore one of the coolest space missions ever. And what they're going to be doing here is they've already launched a couple of satellites going to go out to the moon. And what they're going to do is they're going to take one of these satellites that's got a rocket booster strapped to it, and they are going to purposely touch this thing off, and they're going to drive it into the lunar surface at a very high speed. And from this, they feel they're going to be able to trigger a 6-mile-high explosion, which scientists hope will confirm a presence of water on the moon. Yeah, they think through the this impact that they're going to be able to do this. So. I don't know. This is sounds kind of hokey to me. You know, that big rock out there. And I guess they feel that there's water particles still there. So we will see. But this ought to be, we kind of laughed about the Chinese doing that. And, of course, the Japanese did it as well. And now here our own government's going to do one of these as well. So it should be fun. It should be, see, the pictures that they get should be pretty cool. So I don't think they're going to do this right away. I think they're going to do some science collection first, and we'll see how it goes. But, of course, with the shuttle not going up, you guys heard about that, that they pushed the launch now to July due to that that hydrogen leak. And I actually saw a news report on one of the online newspapers, I think. It may have actually been a link to USA Today or somebody like that, where they had said that NASA was going to investigate, and they actually used the word sabotage in the article, and that just like blew me away. I said, what do you mean sabotage? So I went through and read the article, and what it was the newspaper had basically asked NASA, could this be sabotage? And NASA said, oh, we're going to look into this real close, and we've got a very, you know, strict protocol that we use in investigating things, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, but we don't feel sabotage is an issue. But why would someone even ask if sabotage was involved? Doesn't it just sound a little hokey to you? It does to me that they would even ask that. So if they would ask that, something had to generate that question. Does that newspaper know something that we don't? If so, it could be big. But anyway, it is kind of a weird question to ask the folks of NASA, that's for sure. So a little bit of space stuff going on, of course, with this lunar mission. And then we'll wait to get Endeavor in the air next month if everything goes well. It's too bad this got pushed because, you know, every delay, it really impacts the retirement of the shuttle. And so we'll have to see what happens. All right, over on gadgets.boingboing.net, and I didn't know that Boing Boing had a gadgets page. It's the first time I've ever been over here. Of course, I knew Boing Boing had a website with different information. But I didn't know they actually had a subdomain called Gadgets. And if you're surprised as much by that as I was tonight, you'll definitely want to add this particular site to your read list. But they have got a picture here of a power outlet that's called the Node. And this thing is cool. This redefines your two plug sockets that's in your walls all over the place. All I can say is this thing is basically a square. It's got rounded edges. It's got two tracks. Basically, you can plug multiple plugs into this thing, and it's actually a wall-mounted plug. And it's really cool. It's much safer than using a power strip that would be laying on the floor. It could be wired correctly to make sure it could handle the current, the correct amperage. You could put, 4, 5, 6 different connectors on it, including transformers. This thing is really cool. It really, really is. Now, they got a design that will sit on the floor, but I'm saying no. The way they're showing it in the picture, mounted to the wall, is really cool. Now, the cool thing about this, too, is that all you do is you tap the center of the outlet, and it shuts it off. So it actually shuts the whole block down just like you would shut off a power strip, but it's on the side of your wall. So it's a great way to save energy. Very smart. This is a smart one here. And if these are actually available to buy and my house wiring will support this, these are going on my wall for sure. They just look cool. And you don't want to put these everywhere, obviously, because I would say it's pretty big. It's probably maybe 6 inches by 6 inches square with rounded edges. But I think once you see the picture of this, I think you're going to agree with me. It's pretty cool. Yeah, article over on USA Today from Science Fair talking about the Air Force successfully testing a high-powered laser in flight. Laser beams instead of bombs. The U.S. Air Force successfully tested a high-power laser carried aboard a C-130 on a ground target located at White Sands Missile Range. And it reported that Boeing leads the advanced tactical laser industry making the weapon. This is kind of interesting here. And for those of you that are, they don't really go into, they say, I guess they give you a number here. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a laser person, so I don't fully understand the, you know, the power of this thing. But it says it produced a 955,000 calorie burst of energy on a target, about 25 times more powerful than any other laser out there. So, you know, maybe someone that listens to the show can, you know, drop us a line and, you know, tell us what, you know, what's that going to do? Is that going to burn a hole in something? Is it going to disable electronics? You know, what kind of power does that really result in on the ground at an object, and what kind of damage can it do? But this is kind of interesting that they're going to, you know, think about the power. First of all, think about that C-130 must have some serious generators in it, you know, because the power requirements have to be amazing. But anyway, this is available for you to check out. I have the link up to it. Again, it's in a USA Today article. There's a article we're on GigaOm saying that in-air broadband revenue will beat TV revenue by 2011. And I'll be honest with you, today, on my flight from Denver to Honolulu, 7 hours, 40 minutes, or whatever it was, if that Boeing aircraft by United would have had broadband services in it, I'd have worked all the way home. I've got a bunch of stuff. I got invoicing to do. And a pile of it is in my email. Now, what I had failed to do was that one of the folders where I was dumping stuff to, I didn't actually make that, because I'm using IMAP and Thunderbird, I didn't actually make it so it would download all the attachments. So, you know, I get in the airplane. I'm like, okay, I got enough work to do for the full flight home. And I click on the email. It says, hey, this hasn't been loaded from the remote server. And I was like, ah, you know, by basically screaming. You know, to myself, but they're saying here in this article, and I agree, if I could get online during those flights, I could get a lot of work done, not bothered, phone's not ringing, you know, just do work, it'd be good, it really, really would, because I really hate non-productive time. Generally, I try to sleep, but on today's flight with the knucklehead I had sitting beside me, there was no sleeping, but I could have definitely had the PC on the entire time, and maybe he would have looked at my computer screen instead of looking at my on my iPod all the time. So, but anyway, they're saying that in-flight broadband, the current market stands around $47 million, and it says that over the next couple of years, the annual in-flight broadband connections will top 200 million by 2013, and it says that live broadcast sales are on 250 million for aircraft. So it's very interesting to see what well, it makes sense. You let everybody get online, you know, we're not going to watch the same old. I see the same clips week after week. It's the same stupid. You know, I fly a lot, so I see the same clips that they're playing, all NBC material. It's all these shows that they, you know, that I would never watch. And, you know, if you don't have your laptop out and doing something or watching a movie on it, you know, you're kind of captive to what entertainment they have on the in-flight entertainment. And it's old. It really is. But gets me some broadband. I'm going to have a different type of entertainment. All right, I love this article from GigaOm. The young entrepreneur stereotype bites the dust. This is beautiful. It really is. They've got a graph here from Robert W. Fairlyle. It's called the Kaufman Index of Entrepreneur Activity. And I guess you can find this at sites.kaufman.org. But anyway, it shows the number of startups, rate of entrepreneur activity. And if you go back and you look at from time 1996 to 2008, and everyone said that this is doing a startup is a young man's game. And this graph does not depict this at all. Matter of fact, the median age is between 45 and 54%. Now, 45 and 54 is the median. Now, believe it or not, from 55 to 64, right now at this time, you're seeing a rate of entrepreneur activity at about a 0.40 as compared to Those that are 20 to 34 at about a 0.20% rate. So almost twice as many people that are older are doing startups than young folks. And, you know, that makes sense. You know, people have maybe worked 20 years at a company and build up a little bit of a nest egg, and they say, hey, I want to do my own thing. I want to start a company. I want to, you know, do a startup. And they can afford to do so. Whereas those that in that 20 to 34 range, you know, they're just getting started. Maybe they're, you know, thinking about getting married, you got a girlfriend, they need extra you know, they don't have that base of cash or that stability of what maybe 20 years of a regular work would have given a person. So it's just pretty obvious here that the young entrepreneur stereotype is not at all effective. Matter of fact, the article says that the average age of an entrepreneur in the United States was 39 years old. That's beautiful. It really is a beautiful thing. Now, I'd like to take this graph and just shove it in some VC's faces, venture capital guys, and just go push that right in their face and say, okay, you're saying that my group was too old. Here's the real data. I actually had a venture capitalist told me that one time. Oh, your group's too old. You guys are too old to do a startup. Oh, you know, let's think about that for a second. When you're young, you really don't have nothing to lose, right? So there's no you're willing to take a lot of risk. But when you're older, you're like, okay, let's be smart about this and build something that's going to last. It's going to make money, and you know, you're taking a little risk, but at the same time, you know, be smart about it. It makes sense to me. All right, over on another article on GigaOM here. The telecoms titanic shift and how the mighty have fallen. This is another graph that just goes to show you that voice IP and wireless have really made a major, major impact to companies' revenues in a very short period of time. Growth from quarter one 2008 has dropped. For example, Sprint, and this is used as international companies too. NTT's a international company, KPN. We've got SoftBank, that's a Japanese company. France Telecom, we got AT&T, we got British Telecom, Sprint. All of these companies are seeing negative numbers in growth, and while their revenues are down as well, the true telltale sign here is the negative trend in the in their business models. And which is kind of funny here, though, because if you look at SoftBank is an actual wireless provider in Japan, and I don't know about KDDI as well, but they saw their quarterly revenues decline an average of 4% year on year, and Sprint saw a 12% drop. So I guess it's some mobile companies as well, which is kind of interesting here that you would think that mobile companies would have a little more stability than you know, companies like you know, your local wired telecoms, you know, where you have a wired phone in your home. But anyway, the revenues are definitely down and growth is down across the board. Congressman files bill to stop tiered broadband pricing. This is a Representative Eric Massa, a Democrat, introduced legislation that would force internet service providers that want to implement usage-based pricing plans to go through several regulatory hurdles, including public hearings to determine if such pricing was anti-competitive. Such usage-based plans may involve tiered pricing or caps based on the amount of data downloaded. Now, I guess he's a congressman from New York, and he spoke out pretty strongly against the efforts by Time Warner earlier this year to essentially expand their tiered billing. And so he's basically looking out for us. Now, looking at some specifics in this bill, it requires ISPs to submit plans to the FTC go into consultation with the FCC. So, in other words, requires ISPs to submit plans to the Federal Trade Commission in consultation with the Federal Communications Commission if they plan to move to a usage-based plans. They prohibit volume usage plans if the FTC determines that these plans are imposing rates, terms, and conditions that are unreasonable or discriminatory. Set up public hearings for plans submitted to the FTC for public review and input, and only affects only affects internet providers with 2 million or more subscribers, and impose penalties for broadband ISPs that ignore these rules. And they don't go into what the penalties are, but AT&T said this, and this is, of course, what you would expect them to say. An AT&T spokesman said that via email, such a bill advocates for a radical and unprecedented government mandate that will demand that consumers have only one all-you-can-eat pricing model for internet services. In AT&T's view, such a model forces those who do not use the internet often to subsidize heavy users. You know, they keep pushing this, oh, if you don't use the internet very much, we're going to save you money. If you don't use the internet, you know, how many people don't use very much internet? Maybe this many? You know, my mom is older. She's a hard worker, but she uses a lot of broadband. You know, now she's got her little wireless a connection there at her house. She's using a lot of bandwidth. And she's not a power user. She's just a user. She does a lot more than email. So, you know, I'll pay more for speed. I won't pay more for caps. That's for sure. But, of course, AT&T doesn't like this. Well, you know, they're already controlling the GM, Government Motors. They're already controlling the banks. You know, so, you know, the government might as well go ahead and throw their put their hands on the internet service providers and tell them what they can and can't do. I think it's, you know, I like this one. What do you guys think? You guys think this is a good move? You think this will hurt us in the long run? GeekNews@gmail.com. GeekNews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline +1 619 342 7365. How many of you use Google Translate? I use it from time to time. It doesn't always work that well, but usually you can get enough out of an article to get the gist of what it is, a gist of what it is. You can tell I'm getting punchy here, but Google has announced today that they've added Persian or Farsi, which is an Arab language. Now, and the thing is, in the Middle East. Well, Farsi is probably the most popular language spoke there, written. There's many, many, many dialects. And, you know, you look at Afghanistan and you've got, you know, I think 3 or 4 different, you know, dialects or way, you know, way people speak Arabic. And, you know, so one size does not fit all. But this is primarily... reason they rolled this out was they wanted people to have access to read essentially the Iranian blogs that are out there and give those of us that are interested an idea what these folks are writing about. So they said they've optimized this service for translation between Persian and English, but we're working hard to improve Persian translation for the additional 40 languages available via Google Translate. So that's interesting. Very cool there. But, you know, that Arabic is very tough. It's a hard language. It really is. And but we'll see how this goes. And I'm sure I'm probably going to get some email from some Arabic speakers saying, Todd, you've got this all messed up. It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead and correct me. In other words, making a reference to the Persian, Arabic, and so forth, because there is some deltas there. And I'm probably not completely right with what I'm saying. So go ahead and correct me. Hey, over on the RIAA side, hold on to your hat, folks. This is going to blow you away. Remember this, we've been talking about Jamie Thomas's trial that's been going on. You know, she originally was asked to pay $5,000 to the RIAA for alleged copyright infringement. During her first trial, the jury awarded the RIAA, or the labels, about $80,000. Actually, how much was it before? Oh, it was $9,250 per song on the last trial. And in this trial, the jury has awarded the labels $1.92 million, or $80,000 a song. Can you believe this? $80,000. She had 24 songs that she was being accused of violating. $80,000 a song. Are these folks that were on that jury, are they smoking crack? I can't believe this. $80,000 a song. The simply remarkable. Where is she going to get the money to pay that? What do you do? What do you do when you don't have any money? Are you indentured to these people for the rest of your life? You know, what happens? Is there a lawyer that's listening to the show? What happens when you don't have the money to pay? How do you live? You got to set up a payment plan? You send them $5,000. You know, you have to send them $1,000 a month or something like that? That is ridiculous. $1.92 million for 24 songs. Wow. They thought that, the jury thought that she was a liar, and they were angry about it. That's when she took the stand. You guys have to read this full article. This is over in Ars Technica. I'll let you guys check it out. But, yeah, you make a jury angry, and they will definitely penalize you. And she got penalized, $1.92 million. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. This is going to make, grassroots groups even more angry, and probably cause a bigger backlash than what, they're going to. It's just ridiculous. It really is. I'm not going to say any more. At least today. All right, CNN is reporting that they believe 500,000 new iPhones will be sold this weekend, and essentially that's what Apple has put in stock with AT&T. So they feel that there's going to be 500,000 new iPhones sold. It's crazy. That is really amazing. It's a crazy number, isn't it? It just goes to tell you how big that is. 500,000 phones this weekend. Whew! Are any of you going to stand in line? Are any of you in line right now? Of course, this show is being recorded at 9:30 at night. It's 3:30 in the morning on the East Coast. And I'm sure many of you will probably not get the show until midday on Friday. But are you sitting in line at the Apple Store right now or the AT&T place? Are you waiting to get a phone? Or did you already pre-order yours? I didn't get one because I'm waiting for Verizon to get on board. All right, over in TechCrunch. Apparently, Yahoo's trying to raise some money, and they're doing that by selling some domains they have. They sold contest.com for $380,000+. And people are complaining. They're saying that Yahoo was not very smart in selling this domain for that low of a price. But, hey, in these tough times, cash is where it's at, and that's what they're looking to raise. Over on Search Engine Land at searchengineland.com, Google's fired back at Bing, and they've launched Explore Google Search. So I actually was playing with this at the airport. So never knew any of this stuff was available. So when you go to google.com, there's going to be a link underneath the Google search button. Not on the right where it's advanced search or preferences or language tools, but you're going to see a link there. It says discovering the web. And I was like, wow, this is cool stuff. So this is their first shot across the bow here. They're trying to make people understand that Google's had these features all along. I didn't know it. So if you want to do searches on weather, local businesses, sports scores, dictionary, if you want to do stock quotes, flight tracking, that kind of stuff, it's all available. in discovering the web link on the Google search page. Hey, the little more information on switching to digital TV. I guess that the FCC is basically saying that so far it's went pretty good, but the 1-888 number received 900,000 calls last week, and mostly from people that just had no idea that this this change was coming. And I think this is very surprising. They must have not been watching very much TV because they had those little notices on the TV screens about every 10 minutes, it seemed. But so far, about 900,000 calls since the switch over to DTV. And there's been some hiccups here and there, but so far, it's, I guess it's went pretty good. Now, check this one out. In Sweden, IP numbers are personal unless you're a peer-to-peer pirate. A ruling from a Swedish court says that IP numbers should be considered personal data and will not have any impact on the country's recently passed anti-piracy laws. They say that the IP number should be considered personal information unless the person is being investigated for a peer-to-peer stuff. So not even in Sweden are they safe from the gauntlet of the music industry who is trying to stop you from using your BitTorrent applications and so forth. Hey, over on Digital Inspiration, this is a website at labnol.org, and their whole website name has nothing at all related to their actual domain name. They've got an article here, and turn your home computer into a web server in 2 minutes. So it shows you, and this is for Mac users, and how to basically go and set up your Mac to be a web server. And it's really relatively easy to do and not complicated at all. Just got to get your mouse out and do a few clicks here and there, and you actually have a web server set up. Be aware, running a web server on the on your internet service provider's pipe could get you shut down, okay? Most internet service providers look at that type of activity with in a negative way, and many prohibit it. But one thing that I had done for a long time was that I had a pretty good idea what the local network here was, how it was set up, and I basically blocked a lot of IPs when I was running my online BBS service. So all I can say is, you know, it's not up anymore. The BBS is not since I moved to this new house. But for many, many years, I had a very impressive block IP list. And because every once in a while, the local internet service provider will scan for machines or web servers being run on the network. And this is before all this malware started going where people's machines were being this is really before people's machines were being taken over and used as bots. And so they weren't looking as aggressively, but now they look a little more heavily. But don't have to worry, mine's not up. But be aware, turning your home computer into a web server, while it may be fun, and running your website on your machine at home could get you in trouble. Okay, this article is just going to blow you away. Let me look at the time where we're at here. We're okay. Do you want a job? Well, if you do, and you're going to work for the city of Bozeman, Montana, during your vetting process, when they're checking you out, you have to turn over your usernames and passwords for any social networking site or online forum in which you participate. Can you believe this? The requirement is included on a waiver statement applicants must sign, giving city permission to conduct an investigation in the person's background, references, charter, past employment, education, credit history, criminal or police records, and then also list any and all current business or business websites, web pages, memberships on internet-based chat rooms, social clubs, forums, include but not limited to Facebook, Google, Yahoo, YouTube, MySpace, etc. There are then even three lines where applicants can list the websites, their usernames and login information, and their passwords. Can you know something? No way. No, this is just this is unbelievable. First of all, don't get me wrong. If you want to live in Bozeman, Montana, more power to you. Okay? But can you imagine? Yeah, here's all my, usernames and passwords for my email accounts, Facebook, Twitter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I just can't. I think this is they're gonna be in court over this one. This is a little bit, you do a background check, you do a criminal check, do a credit run. That tells a lot about a person. It really does. You know, when you're working for Uncle Sam and he had, let's say you have to have a security clearance, they basically require you to give them access. You have to give them access to your medical records. You have to give them access to your financial stuff. You have to give them access to your tax papers. And then you're submitted to an interview. And they basically interview about your associates, friends, overseas contacts, businesses, etc. And it's all about disclosure. They just basically want to have a full, this is for people that are working for the government that are holding, positions of trust. And, this is to protect national secrets. And yet, this Bozeman, Montana folks working for a city office, they want you to give up. The U.S. government doesn't ask you for your MySpace account. It doesn't ask you for your YouTube account username or password. They don't ask for that. And this small little podunk town is asking for this information? Wow. Wow. This is a serious, serious invasion of privacy. Imagine you're in a small town and you go apply for a job and Sally, the gal that you've known since you were a kid, is the one that's going to do the background check. You know how small towns are. Everyone yak, right? Or even big towns, yak, rumor mill. Giving someone that kind of power and access. They could find out about a person's, during an interview, they're not allowed to ask you your age. They're not allowed to ask you your religion. They're not allowed to ask you your sexual preference. There's a whole bunch of stuff they can't ask you, right? It's illegal for them to ask certain questions during a job interview. And if they do, and they ask that, you bet they can be sued. They can't ask about your marital status, how many kids you have. They can't ask that. Yet, they're going to be able to go in and look at your MySpace account, look at your email. Whew. How many of you are going to go work for Bozeman on Montana? They have stricter requirements than the U.S. government does. That is going to be one heck of a straight, clean, and narrow office, don't you think? Can't believe it. All right, over on cyorg.com. I just can't believe it. I'm sitting here, my head's just exploding with that last article. Over on cyorg.com. Scientists have captured the first images of memories being made. And this is kind of cool. They're scanning a person's brain as he was learning new stuff. And it's through a protein detection. I don't know exactly how they did this, but they were actually see how new memory cells were formed in the brain. And this is pretty cool stuff, because if they can watch the brain and understand when a memory is made, imagine what they're going to be able to do in a few years for people that are having, a traumatic brain injury. Maybe they can go in and stimulate the brain and remap some of that stuff. So this is some pretty cool. They're getting deep into this. It's not going to be long before we're going to be Star Trek type stuff, where the guy's just going to hold a little thing over people's bodies and, it's going to heal them. It's pretty amazing where science is going these days. But link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. over on the BBC, and I don't know why the BBC is carrying this and not some American website, but they're saying that some 63% of adult Americans now have broadband internet connection at home, according to the Pew Internet Project. The results surprised researchers, showing a 15% increase from a year earlier. Well, you know what it is. Everyone's out of a job. So guess what they got to do? They got to hunt for a job online. Now they're cutting back on mobile phone usage and cable TV usage. That makes sense. You know, but how are you going to find a job today? You're going to do it online, baby. That's where it's at. There were 17% that responded that said that the reason they're not online is because the technology was not available in their area. That's just sad. It really is. That's pretty good. 63%. That's a big jump. Anyway, that link will be up there too. All right. Here's another article I've been waiting to talk about. And actually, I thought about this yesterday when I saw that the Major League Baseball. Can I even talk about Major League Baseball on this show without getting a cease and desist order? You know, they're pretty sensitive about their baseball games and, you know, re-televising or talking about scores or talking about players. You know, they are at the point now where they are so over and above, beyond the top of anyone that tries to report on Major League Baseball that it's not even worth talking about Major League Baseball. But anyway, I'm not a big baseball fan, but what I wanted to do is Major League Baseball has a iPhone app that is going to allow users to stream the video of a baseball game over the AT&T network. Okay, now think here for a second. Which company last month did AT&T tell, no, your application is being denied because we're not going to allow you to stream video over our network? Slingbox. Remember, Slingbox was basically given the boot and showed the door and told no way, no how? But yet, AT&T is going to allow Major League Baseball to stream video. Someone on Ustream said, I wonder how many times you can say MLB in 30 seconds. And also Langley said, Sling doesn't have as much money as MLB. That's probably true. They're not paying them. At least that's not what's being said, but probably they are. They probably wrote them a check. But they're changing their story. This is what AT&T is basically doing. AT&T says that, hey, we acknowledge that the open internet principle should apply to wireless, and that consumers expect unfettered mobile access. And basically it's goes back to, instead of the stream, initially their story was the stream was going to impact their network too harshly. It was going to really affect it negatively, and it would be cause disruption of services. Well, MLB, since their app has been applied and approved, what AT&T is now saying is that we don't allow the rebroadcast of television signals through Sling. That's the reason why we didn't let the app be approved. So I think what we're going to see here is a lot more questions being asked of AT&T and wondering if they're going to allow some transparency and if someone's going to hold AT&T to task. You know, this is a good one for the FCC. It absolutely is. The FCC should ask AT&T why. And you know what? I hope they just get stomped on. I really do. I hope Sling, you know, this is a good lawsuit. You know, if I was Sling and I'd been shut out by AT&T and then Major League Baseball been allowed for really probably the same amount of bandwidth, amounts, I think I would sue. You know, if I was that company CEO, I'd get the lawyers in action. And I would go and file for an injunction. You know, either allow my app and Major League Baseball's app, or don't allow either. There can't be a double standard. Okay, over here in computer world, when the lights go out, 12 gadgets to keep you working. And I think one of the cool things I've gotten this, this is a list of 12 different articles. I think I like the Series 22, the 22 kilowatt generator that they're suggesting for your home. There's 12 articles here. The most wild one is definitely the generator. You don't need 22K, by the way, for your home, and you probably wouldn't want to afford the diesel fuel to run the thing. But there are some other cool apps in here, or some tools that you'll want to have on hand in case the power goes out and we go off the grid. You're going to need to be able to power your gadgets. Hey, by the way, with the introduction of iPhone OS 3.0, Apple is applying 46 security patches to the operating system. So it's they're trying to get it a little more secure. 46 patches. Some scientists have done some research and believe that some images that have been taken by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which revealed a 30-mile-long canyon, researchers have done some tests and come up with some basically some models of where water would have stood in Mars. You know, basically, it's, you know, typically like just like the Grand Canyon, you know, you don't have these big trenches in the ground caused by, wind erosion. This is definitely caused by water. So this is pretty kind of cool. They did a little bit of fluid study, and I'll have the link up. This is an AP article so that the AP doesn't come back and sue me for not giving reference to them. So the link will be up in the show notes. Good article on Newsweek talking about why your laptop runs out of juice so fast. You know, how many of you have seen these you gone into Best Buy or go into, you know, your favorite big box or someplace that sells computers, and it's in the fine print. It says, hey, battery life 7 hours. And you're looking at the machine and it's, you know, why has this got a battery life of 7 hours and this one's only got a battery life of 2? Well, a lot of it has to do with obviously the size of the screen and everything else. But did you know that when they test laptop battery life, they reduce the screen intensity by about 30%. So they go down to like 70% in screen intensity. In the test, in the actual battery life test, the processor only runs at about 7%. So in other words, the CPU is not even being tasked at all. And really, that's just basically like, you know, putting a car at the top of a hill, put it in neutral, and let it roll down the hill and basically in idle, and then say, hey, this car gets 82 miles to the gallon. So, you know, don't be sucked in by those very misleading battery life stickers that are on the sales literature. And I will applaud AMD because AMD is saying that there has to be a more serious benchmark that actually tasks a laptop like it would be normally used to come up with an actual number percentage-wise and time-wise of what people should expect out of a laptop a battery. You know, that's why I carry. When I go to CES, I got 3 replacement batteries for my MacBook Pro. Now, charging them is a pain, but at least I can get through a day with 3 batteries. Hey, article over on Slashdot, and this one kind of just blows me away because being a small business owner, you know, having a payroll system is not rocket science, right? It's something that's, you know, pretty standard. You can buy packages right off the shelf to do payroll. Well, the University of Wisconsin has a 30-year-old payroll system, which is going to require $40 million to fix to get it up to date. They've already spent $28.4 million in 2004 to bring it up to date with no end results. Okay, let me think about this for a second. You've got employees and you've got payroll. You need an hour system, hour input system. Why are they trying to, like, reinvent the wheel? Why don't they just go out and buy a whole new system? I don't get this. If you live in Wisconsin and you're a University of Wisconsin alumni or you're a taxpayer in that state and taxpayer dollars go to that university, you better call your local representatives and ask what these fools are doing. I don't get it. It's payroll. It's not complicated. And calculator and a piece of paper, you can figure payroll out. $30 million. Let me go in there. I'll get it replaced. Oh, gosh. All right. Canadian listeners, listen up. You really need to listen here. All right, Canadian listeners, you 13% of you out there that are from Canada that listen to this show, a bill has been introduced by Canada's Minister of Public Safety where they would, if this bill is passed, would allow police to warrantlessly, in other words, without a warrant, force an internet service provider to provide access to any requested digital traffic records. Wow. So what they're trying to do here is police have lobbied for the bill as a mean of combating gangsters, pedophiles, or terrorists. And, you know, if they're going up against gangsters, pedophiles, or terrorists, don't you think they could get a search warrant? But they want to have a bill where police will be able to just basically go in and force ISPs provide access to data. You guys need to call your legislatures and get on the horn about this. Another one's going to be shoved through. All right, I have to actually say something good about Comcast. Comcast is going to be providing or be bringing IPv6 to residential customers in 2010. Now, some of you are probably saying, what's IPv6? Well, right now, the internet protocol system is run under primarily an IPv4 address space. So in other words, that little a 12-digit number, for example, when you get a new modem or new router, it may be 192.168.1.255, or basically each of those columns are allowed to have three digits, and those addresses are running out. So IPv6 adds more segments to that and basically gives us billions and billions of available IPs. So this is the first major ISP I've heard to start introducing IPv6. I'm sure it'll take Time Warner about another 20 years to get that stuff enacted, knowing them, but good on Comcast for getting that rolling here. Students found guilty of disturbing the peace for sending nasty political email to professor. I guess a student got in a, first of all, don't get in a battle with your professor over political stuff. That's usually result in an E or a 1.0 or whatever it is, a failure in a class. It's better just to be quiet. But I guess the student and the professor exchanged a series of emails over a short period of time. And both one was on one end and one was on the other of the political spectrum. And basically, they basically came to an agreement that they wouldn't argue no more. But then a few months went by, and the professor received two emails from a new Yahoo email address that used the professor's name as part of the address. And it was Avery Loves Al Qaeda at Yahoo.com, and it was a ranting politically against the professor. The professor turned this over to the police. The police were able to determine who the person was that did it, and it turned out to be the same student that was he'd shared emails with before. And this guy's been found guilty of disturbing the peace, and a lower court has which there was an appeal made, and a lower court has agreed that the student has this conviction should stand. So now you can disturbing the peace is like standing out on the street corner and screaming at the top of your lungs at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's disturbing the peace. But now you can get charged, at least in that state, in Nebraska, you can get charged with disturbing the peace by sending someone an email that's a little nasty. Okay, those of you that have pre's, Apple has warned very, how should I say it? In a kind of underhanded way in their form section, that they're going to break iTunes syncing. And this is a scary thing here, because if they break it for the pre, they may break it for all the other podcatchers that are out there. So Apple's none too happy that those of you that have pre's can sync to iTunes. And it looks like they're going to go head-to-head and try to stop that from happening. So we'll see. If they do this and it breaks all the podcatchers out there, it'll be a sad day. But Apple's been known to, play hardball when they need to. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments, and then we'll get into the email comments. We're probably going to go long here, but I'm going to read through the. There's been a lot of chat in the Ustream chat. I'll read through that while the voicemail is playing. Excuse me. And I'll get this thing wrapped up in the can, and I can go to so I can go to bed. But anyway, here comes the first voicemail. Again, if you have comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Tim Alcozer.
Hey.
First time caller to the show here. Just driving out in the middle of the Mojave Desert about 4 a.m., so got to pick up someone taking that LAX. Anyways, just listening to your show on the long drive here, and wanted to make a small little quick comment about Facebook that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I remember when you first got on there, and a friend requested you, and you had like 5 friends and all that. You mentioned that you were still trying to figure out what Facebook, what the use of it was for you. And I guess you've found the use since you're scrambling online to get your username and everything in the first couple of minutes that they let you. But I guess that's about all I wanted to say, really. Anyways, I love the show. Great show. And keep up the good work. I'm always a big fan, especially on these long drives. Hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. You know what I've been using Facebook for? I've been using it to connect with old classmates, family members. And, you know, I live out here in Hawaii, and all my immediate family's in Michigan, Ohio area. So connected up with all my aunties and cousins, old friends, and then, of course, the podcast audience. So that's – and some old co-workers as well. So that's kind of how I'm using Facebook, and I'm using it for, you know, that specific purpose. I'm not doing, you know, a lot else, a lot of chatting back and forth or emails within the Facebook application. That's kind of what I'm using Facebook for right now. Yeah, what is everyone else basically using Facebook for? You know, what value do you get out of it? And, you know, what's kind of cool is that really, finally, I'm happy that some of my relatives and classmates have been able to kind of find some of these tools that I've been using for years. You know, Facebook hasn't been around for years, but, you know, get online, get connected, reacquaint. The whole nine yards. It gets good and bad because sometimes you reacquaint with people maybe you don't want to necessarily reacquaint with. But haven't reacquainted with any old girlfriends or anything like that yet. But I'm sure some people have. And that could probably be a little bit touchy when it comes to a spouse hanging out looking at your account. But anyway, that's what I use it for. Okay, let me go ahead and here play the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. Tim Alcozer one more time.
Hey.
Pausing at the end of that first voicemail.
No worries.
My mind went blank about what I was trying to say. It's about your, on your last show, you were having trouble with Firefox.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you found out what the reason was for that, because on my Firefox, I also get a lot of freezing almost every few minutes, actually. If I have more than one page open, it'll just kind of freeze. I don't know if it's my router dying on me or if it's something, some kind of problem with Firefox, but you figured it out. Maybe it's just RAM. I need to upgrade. Let me know. All right. As always, love the show. Keep the great work. Bye.
Hey, thanks again for the callback. Nope, have no idea. Basically, it just decided it wanted to hang. It doesn't normally do that. Normally, I'm fine. But I think what it was there was a video in one of the... in one of the articles, and it depends on which video site it comes from. Sometimes Firefox had a tendency to kind of choke on it and cause CPU usage to go through the roof. I think maybe that's what it was. Maybe not. I don't know, but it definitely wasn't cool. All right, got an email from Frank here. He says, hey, this story concerned reps of music industry going after a high school radio station. It's a school of 3 of my kids attend just down the road. A piece for taking a stand against industry's attempt to charge broadcast radio for using music recordings. And I'll have this linked online. It's about some schools in Delaware having a radio station. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. This is just amazing here. It's about royalties being paid and how much they want this school to pay royalties back to – the RIAA, ASCAP, BMI, and so forth. So I think schools and stuff should be exempt. You know, this is a great way for kids to get exposure to, you know, the online, not online, the broadcast and radio industry, you know. All right, Bree, thank you for your submission on the newsletter. You got the question correct. Bree said, hey, Todd, each time zone got to pick as midnight bell rolled around for their particular time zone. And this is in reference to Facebook. So I stayed up and signed on before midnight. The website page ticked down the minutes and seconds. The minute it rolled over at 12 a.m., the website asked me to sign in again, allowed me to register the name I wanted. I was many time zones ahead of you. Now, what happened was, is that it didn't matter where you were at. In Hawaii, people were getting their Facebook names at 6 p.m. Where I was at, basically on Eastern Standard Time at the time. Of course, midnight hit, and I was able to get it. It was all based on Eastern Standard Time. At midnight Eastern Standard Time is when it rolled. Had friends here in Hawaii that were actually doing a video recording over here in a local studio, and they all stopped, took a break, and got their Facebook usernames at 6 p.m. So, don't know. I think we were all trying to get them at once. I got an email from Rick, and he says, I'm very impressed with your show content and delivery of your product. My name is Rick, and I heard one of your podcasts like last week mention that you were having a contest to people that may have good ideas for a podcast show. So, yep, Rex, I have your Rick, I have your entry here. So, kind of cool letterhead, too, that you sent that in. I got an email from Brian. Hey, Todd, can you do a meetup in Pittsburgh next week? We will see. I got a request for Philly as well. Depends on my schedule. I'll let everybody know. No promises. But didn't mention in the beginning of the show, but I do fly back out Sunday to the East Coast. I have a full stock of meetings in a variety of cities next week. So it's going to be another run. This is the last one. This is just before quarter three starts. And then I'll be home pretty much, I think, the whole month of July. So, but I had to come home for just this weekend because of special things going on tomorrow with my son. But, yeah, I'll try. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But depends on if I'm doing client dinners and so forth during the week. That's where the challenge runs in. I got an email from Frank. He said, you asked about Facebook usernames. I got mine Saturday morning. Oddly enough, the guy who got my first choice is named Chris Dunbar. Honestly, you can't make this stuff up. So, yeah, Frank, Frankie, I don't know. Maybe his real name was Frank in your last name versus Charlie Dunbar. I don't get why he picked that. That's kind of a weird one. Got an email from JR. He says, thanks for your prayers on your podcast. It picked me up. I was having a very bad day when you mentioned my name. Thank you, my tragic story. And this is at jeffreylramsey.com. I'd just been asking for prayers. I'm not coping very well. I and my kids suffered so much since my accident almost 12 years ago, and I've been going downhill since. God bless for what you do, Todd. Jeff in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Jeff, take care, haven't been over to your website yet, but I definitely have it linked up in the show notes tonight. I'll definitely check your story out. Andrew, thank you for entry on the contest. Joey got yours. Dennis, I got yours. Jim, oh my God, this is one of my longtime listeners of the show, and I got an email from Jim. Jim had been off the radar for a little while. And I got this email, and I was just shocked. But Jim is doing okay. He says, hey, Todd, can I ask you a question? Why is your podcast now GNC? It's not GNC. I'm just playing around with the intro a little bit, Jim. But he goes on to say, I'm now just catching up with your podcast. He says, I was in a bad car wreck and broke both my legs. An older man pulled out in front of me, and I hit him at 70 miles per hour. He is fine. And I am doing better every day. Hopefully I can start putting weight and maybe even start walking in about 2 weeks. Well, anyway, keep up the great work, Jim. Jim, man, take care, okay? You always send me great links and emails, and I wondered what happened to you. So I'm glad that you're on the road to recovery, but boy, oh boy, 70 miles per hour, you're going to have to send me a picture. It can't be pretty. and I'm glad that the other gentleman that you hit is okay as well. That kind of made me go, ooh, that didn't turn out well. But Thank goodness that you're on the road to recovery. Take care, and you'll be in my wife and I's thoughts and prayers. Okay, got Yitz's entry. Thank you for that. Hey, Steven sent me an email. He said, hey, Todd, in show 485, you talked about live streaming and podcasting storm chasers. My buddy Jeff is an amateur storm chaser in West Texas, and he live streams at tornadoraiders.com. I have been trying to get him to record and podcast the highlights, but he is not doing it yet for your info. Steven, thanks for that link. And I tell you what, if I get out to Texas again here in the near future, I'm going to have to look your buddy up, and he's going to have to take me storm chasing. He really is. And but thanks for that. We'll check his website out at tornadoraiders.com. And last email of the night is, oh, I guess you got more than that. Hey, Max, make sure when you're checking out at GoDaddy that you're not already have a discount code. That's maybe what happened. Got an email from Ron, buddy of mine. He said, hey, Todd, possibly problem with your newsletter. I noticed it a while ago, but I'm now just getting around to emailing you about it. Is the subscribe with iTunes graphic supposed to link to anything? It is, Ron. I'm going to have to check that out. He says, a GNC graphic takes you to the podcast, but the subscribe to iTunes graphics doesn't reference or go to anything. Thought you'd like to know in case you hadn't noticed before. Ron, I'll get that fixed. Thanks for the info on that. I got an email and got the contest entry from Sam. I got an email here from Frank. He says, I know you don't like to get political on the podcast. I think you handle the occasional political issues that worm its way into your show very tactfully and skillfully. With that in mind, I still thought you might be interested in this. It's not for your podcast. Oh, okay. This might be okay, Frank. It's about the Broadband Internet Fairness Act, House of Resolution 2902. We talked about this in the show. I'll have this linked up in the show notes. Mike, we'll try to get up with you in Philly. Trucker Tom sent me a link on hard evidence found on lake for a lake on Mars. I talked about that already in the show. Trucker Tom, thank you for that. And I got an email from Tim. He says, this is the last email of the night. He said, Todd, if I'm not mistaken, remember you always give the thumbs up for WordPress. So I went down to my local internet homepage, went to WordPress.com, and now slowly starting my own very own blog. Congratulations. The real occasion is that I'm leaving the Marine Corps on the 25th of this month to pursue full-time education in Provo, Utah. I basically want an online excuse to keep a journal of my college adventures, starting with my final days in the Marine Corps. I wanted also to have family keep up to date on me and friends as well. I think this is going to be fun. On that long drive with my silver Ford Focus parked with stuff, you can bet I'll be listening to your latest and archives your show to keep me entertained. Keep up the great work, and thanks for bringing WordPress to my attention, Tim. Tim, thank you so much for your service to the country. And I know once a Marine, always a Marine, semper fi. And even though the Marines are still a department of the Navy, had to throw that in there. Good luck in going to school. Use that GI Bill. Get your education. And again, thanks again for your service. And thanks for being a listener here of the show. All right, folks, that's it. That's all the stuff tonight. We're long, but hey, it is what it is. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. The next show, I will have transversed the entire, from across the Pacific, all the way across the United States to the Eastern Seaboard, and I'll probably be in the same jet lag condition that I am tonight on the show that I record Monday night. I will be in a time zone which will allow me to record the show live on the internet earlier. So be looking for me on Ustream at about 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And hopefully I'm in a condition to do the show. Probably be about the same quality as this one. But it's what happens. It's when you're running a new company. You have to sometimes you gotta make hay when the sun shines. And this is what it's all about. But thanks for being part of the Ohana here. Thanks for being, again, a longtime listeners of the show and staying subscribed and telling people about the podcast and supporting the sponsors. Until next time, hear from beautiful, sunny, trade winds are up, Honolulu, Hawaii. Take care and aloha.